the tree of life inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And so it's a whole concept. And so I'll tell you the story that I got to hear. And then I'll show you some slides and some pictures of food for thought. And it's really about the Ark of the Covenant, the tree of life, contents, things inside containers, what's inside a container, what's outside a container. The Ark of the Covenant was a container. So it was, so was Noah's Ark. It's a different Hebrew word, but it's an ark. But here's how this thing started. I got invited by some Jews, a Jew, to go to his temple. What do I have in common with somebody who rejects the Messiah? He's an unbeliever. Thank you, but the stirring wouldn't go away. And that's a confirmation through the Ruah. There's something there. So I go to this temple, going, what am I doing here? And as they get started, I'm very uncomfortable. That'd be an understatement. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure why I'm even in a temple. And Christ started, before the teaching got started, he said, Aaron, you listen to teachings every day from unbelievers on MP3 players. You glean. You can glean. Are you a grown-up? Can you glean? Yeah, I just never gleaned this way before because these guys reject my Messiah. Okay, so then the rabbi gets up, and I have a Torah, and he has the study notes, and he starts teaching. And what it reminded me of is John Shainheit gave us a foundation of the Hebrew Scriptures. How? He went to Torah school with little kids.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He had to humble himself like a little kid to say, teach me the Hebrew Scriptures. And that's how he knew about Abraham and the hand under the thigh. And that's how he knew about this and Samson's sarcasm. And the whole concept of Samson being a lonely, lonely guy, the Hebrews taught him.
Yeah.
Who taught him? An unbeliever. Okay, so here I am, and this... The rabbi gets up, and the study is on Exodus. And here's all some of the study notes are great. I'm going to take my Torah out and start looking at some of the study notes. And he wants to talk about containers. And here's a guy, he's not a Christian. As far as I know, he's never read, why would he read the New Covenant, the Greek manuscripts, things about the Messiah. But wait till you hear what he says. He goes, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. This box... And he reads it, and he goes, it's going to be 2.5 cubits or 1.5 cubits. And he stops, he goes, do you guys know what a cubit is? Okay, so measurements, people didn't have measuring devices. This is an inch. So if you're buying something, you want to know something's 3 inches, it's not an exact measurement. It's an estimate. 1 inch. You want 3 inches of something, I got 2, 3. And so you can barter without measuring. And so that's how measurements were done. A foot is, all these perfect numbers, is 12 inches. I mean, it's not every man's foot is 12 inches. It's a measuring. This wasn't really him. This is me adding it to it with our own measurements. But he said a cubit is a hand and a foot. There's two measurements. They measure things with hands. What do they measure it still with hands? Caballos? How tall is a horse?
So many hands high.
So many hands. I don't know why they use hands. It seems like a small measurement, but it's going to be more exact. We still measure things in foot and in miles. And he said a cubit is 1 foot and a hand. And he went, did you know? And then he goes, it's a fact. It's not an exact. Everybody's body, some people's hands are a little bit longer, yeah. Nose is a little different. But he said your elbow to your wrist is the same distance of your it's the same size as your foot, not this distance. And he goes, don't test this thing out. He's trying to get somewhere. All of a sudden these ladies start taking my shoes off. And they start putting it here and they go, my shoe's bigger. And he goes, I said your foot, not your shoe. It's the outside. So when you read, and he's trying to explain to them, when you read, for most people, you read the Ark of the Covenant is a cubit and a half tall. 18, all of a sudden you have your own measurement. There's 2 cubits. If it's 3 cubits, and you go, boom, there's this reference. And I, wow.
Yeah.
And he started, okay, and then the Ark of the Covenant then starts going into acacia wood. Why acacia wood? And he starts going off, and people start disagreeing with the rabbi. I'm like, And it was his wife was one of them. And I'm like, this is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, wives, be quiet. Yeah. She's like, I disagree. And he's like, oh, goodness. But it was really neat. Who knows? Maybe I could have planted some seeds. But I did learn. I took. And as he's doing this, and they're going back and forth, I'm bored, so I'm reading the notes. And it says, why did Yahweh choose the acacia? We don't know. But it is Levitical law not to destroy fruit trees, even in the time of war.
Yeah, I read that.
Acacia bears no fruit. And he goes, this is a symbol of how you use Yahweh's wood. And I went,
huh.
Within the first 15 minutes, I got a measurement of the ark. I didn't know this thing here. And here's this, and I'm going. And then he goes, okay, are we done? Okay, let's get back to this, guys. He goes, let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant, so you can see the Ark of the Covenant. He goes, what's very interesting about the Ark of the Covenant is the outside is pure gold. And if you ever want to see pure gold, they have a Carl Peter John gave me it's a new currency made out of pure gold. It's supposed to be replacing the dollar. But it is incredible, the color. You're looking at it and go, this is what the Holy of Holies was. This is the Ark of the Covenant. And I've never seen pure gold like this. So it's a dollar bill made out of pure gold, and it's like 1/1000th of an ounce of something. But I'm looking at that, and here's his teaching. And he's going, in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, with Indiana Jones, the wicked archaeologist, who's not really wicked, he's bad, he's the Frenchman, he goes, do you understand what this thing is, Indiana? It's a radio transmitter for God. But when you start studying about the Ark of the Covenant, and guess what it is?
Transmitter?
It's a transmitter for Yahweh. This whole thing. And it's going to say, I will speak to you here. Here's what it says. And how interesting. It's all made out of gold. What's one of the best materials for conducting electricity? Guess what they use on space shuttles? Gold. Coincidence, most likely. But then the rabbi goes, the Ark of the Covenant is 3 boxes. Pay attention, guys. It's 3 boxes. It's the acacia wood. And it's on the outside box is pure hammered gold. Okay? So it's absolutely beautiful. And the interesting thing, this teacher starts going, he really reminded me a lot of Nicodemus. The interesting thing is the inside is pure gold too. Because if you ever open up the inside of a computer, it's not that beautiful, is it? It's not supposed to be beautiful. You're not supposed to look inside there. What happened when somebody looked inside of the Ark of the Covenant? Does anybody have any scripture? Everybody went, oh yeah. What happened to those people?
They died.
It didn't say don't look in there. If you, I couldn't find any scripture that says don't look in the Ark. But he said, what happened if somebody looked in there? He goes, so it appears the inside of the Ark of the Covenant was pure gold and nobody's ever going to look at it. What's the point of that? And he went, think about this. The inside is supposed to be as beautiful as the outside. Think about this, people. The inside is supposed to be as beautiful as the outside. Because a lot of people, then he goes on to say, this rabbi that lost his congregation or his synagogue got this revelation that everybody what do we want with a teacher or a pastor? We want somebody without personality flaws.
Yeah.
We want Joel Osteen, an orator, not somebody who picks their nose or uses words incorrectly or they got these. Nobody wants these little bitty flaws. What was Moses like? I bet you Yahweh picked people with personality flaws and make them produce more faith. Mm-hmm. Aaron was polished. And Aaron was kind of a problem at it once or twice, but here's Moses. And he starts explaining, he said, with this rabbi, he loses his whole congregation because it's Torah, 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 Torah. If you don't do the Torah, you're out. He goes, this is our Elohim. There is no in and out. You have, and this rabbi is saying, you have no fear of your God. You have a fear of getting caught. And what happened? People didn't like it. He loses his congregation.
Familiar.
He loses his congregation. These are my words, not his words. And then all of a sudden the synagogue or the temple is full of people, and he gets a revelation later on. People are like, see, you are the problem. Now finally our temple is full. And the story went into saying, this rabbi goes, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was too much. Maybe I was this and that. And now if this rabbi was before Jesus Christ, this is fantastic. It could have been divine revelation. And he said, he had a revelation. I'm going to just pause for a second about this revelation. Containers, things inside, things outside. Now, on this slide, you can see right over here on my right, it's blurry, but it's one of the most expensive vases in the world. Hmm. It's a vase. It's not a very good picture. Beside it is a dirty old thumb drive. A thumb drive you put into your computer, right? There was an art competition of what was going to be put on the wall. And you had a choice of the vase or the thumb drive. What do you think 90% of the people picked?
Vase.
The vase, not the thumb drive. Inside this vase, do you know what's inside of it? The ashes of a prostitute who died of venereal diseases.
Died for what?
Venereal diseases.
Oh, shit.
Do you know what's inside the thumb drive?
Information.
Well, inside this thumb drive was statistics. It was chemistry. It was astrophysicists. And I would add to it, it had the Yahweh's word on there with teachings and doctrines. Look at the outside, look at the inside. And so the Ark of the Covenant is with this teaching is to help us. You're going to see things physically. But Yahweh tries to teach the Ark of the, with his teaching. You're going to see things beautifully, but what's the most important thing about the Ark of the Covenant? And here's this. And so the rabbi's saying, the people that have filled the temple are people full of ashes. And I went, what did Jesus Christ say about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Anyone?
Brood of vipers.
Whitewashed sepulchers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in Leviticus, let's see here, in Leviticus, I think I thought I wrote it down. In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it says, if you touch a human bone, you are unclean for 7 days. How were people treated if they tested positive for COVID?
They were...
I'm not talking about this group, but most people.
Yeah.
It was disgusting how they were treated. The human bones, it's not just you're full of bones. This is a contagious thing that I can't even go to communion. I can't go to the temple. I got to go. I'm unclean for 7 days. And in Deuteronomy, it says, if you try to do something while you're unclean, you know what the sentence is for that?
Yeah.
Death. So when Jesus Christ says you are... a tomb that's beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, it's not just bones. It's hideous. It's a contagious disease that's going to cause all kinds of problems. You're going to miss work. It was neat on the shows, and there was a woman with the issue of blood. A guy looks at her, he goes, ah, unclean. Now I got to go wash in the sea. And he starts cursing her because 7 days if there's unclean. So that's not the point of this, but what's on the inside and what's on the outside? I'm listening to this rabbi teach Torah in ways I've never heard before. And I'm going, and then he starts elaborating, and I look down at the study notes, and this was the best part for me. I look down, I'm trying to keep up, they're reading right to left, and they're reading in the Hebrew, and he's explaining things. The guy, the doctor next to me, he's going, we're on this page if it matters. And it doesn't matter. I'm reading the notes. I had some great study notes. It said, let's go back. This Torah said, the tree of life is the Torah. Doing Yahweh's word is the tree of life. And my brain just goes, boom! I'm always thinking of a physical tree that once existed, that doesn't exist anymore, it's extinct, it's gone! And this Hebrew goes, doing the word is eating from the tree of life. And all of a sudden, and then you're looking at the Ark of the Covenant. Here's the rabbi. I have the Ruah. So do I have an advantage in this temple?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? The Mashiach starts teaching me, and I'm going, Aaron, did you humble yourself? Yeah, at least I'm not like John Shane. I'd sit with little kids. But I should, if he tells me. And he went, what did you just learn about the Ark of the Covenant? The beautiful is supposed to be as beautiful. The inside is the outside. Here's Yahweh wants the beautiful as the outside. And the rabbi is trying to teach about us supposed to be beautiful on the inside and on the outside. And boy, the women got really pissed with this one. They're talking about their physical things and stuff like this. And he goes, hold on, just let me finish. Listen, I'm reading these things. What was on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant?
Cool.
And the most important thing.
Tablets. Two tablets.
The Torah. It was a covenant. The tree of life. The tree of life doesn't give you any life.
You have to eat it.
You have to eat it. In the book of Revelation, there's a tree of life too. And it says you're supposed to eat. And if for healing, what does that mean? I don't know. There's some mysteries there because there is no death, there is no pain, but there's going to be healing. You have to eat of it. This is the tree of life. Not the translation in Spanish or English. It's in the original Hebrew. So it's our job to try to get the closest thing we can. My wife is excellent at reading the ingredients of things, going, you want pure things. And look at this stuff. I went, what a great idea. But this is the tree of life. And I'm sitting there and my brain's exploding, going, oh my goodness, what was inside of the Ark of the Covenant? The tree of life. It doesn't say that in scriptures. But this is things that I was gleaning, going, and you start looking at this, going, oh my goodness, what's going on? And then here this thing is, we look at beautiful people. The Ark of the Covenant was beautiful, but don't let this deceive you. What does it say in 1 Samuel 6:17? Man looks on the stature, don't look at the stature of his countenance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at what?
The inside.
The inside. So how are we supposed to be beautiful on the inside and on the outside? What is beauty on the inside? Oh, that's somebody. It's somebody who does the Word. Does the Torah. Just like the Ark of the Covenant. There's the Torah. Are you doing the Torah? And with our case, the Torah is just part of it. Are you doing the Scriptures? Are you searching the Scriptures? Are you eating the tree of life? No wonder you're depressed. You're reading the same verses over and over again. What happens if somebody eats one diet? I know one person, he ate protein shakes for like 15 years, and he was confronted by everybody that loved him for years. This is the problem with your life. It was really simple. I didn't have to wash any dishes. All I did was buy gallons of milk. You can't just eat one thing! And I go, tell me why. It was my if nobody could come up with a really good thing. But everybody knew you can't just feed on one thing. It's the same way with the Scripture. You're reading the same thing. You're studying. But the tree of life, knowledge of good and evil. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. Inside of it, imagining the tree of life is inside there. And here is this where Moses is going to go to it and hear from Yahweh. And you think about the communicator. The whole temple was built around this box.
Yeah.
This box was built around Yahweh's Word. What was built around, and then the Garden of Eden was built around the Tree of Life. It doesn't specifically say that. But if you're Adam and Eve, you want to live, what's going to be the center of your life? You got to get to that tree. It's like where the water is. I used to ask my dad, why are cities always around rivers? Because they have to have water. And so the center. And then you got the temple, and here's this. And the Holy of Holies is pure gold. And, you know, Yahweh uses electricity, and electricity in the internet is a lot like the Ruach HaKodesh. Because you see people, I got to see about a tribe, I don't know where it was, New Guinea, and they had hand-powered drills, and they're trying to twist it. And this missionary's going, oh, you got to charge it, we gave you a generator. oh, okay. It's just so backwards. And he goes, just charge the drill and zoosh, zoosh. And when the missionary showed up, these guys aren't using the drill or the screws, but when the missionary showed up, they got to act like it. That's the Ruach Kodesh. That's power. It's this electricity. And this, are you utilizing it? Are you prophesying? Are you speaking? Are you asking how to utilize these things? I digress. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, easy to remember, 3:16, my birthday, 3:16, John 3:16. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the naos, the debir. The what? What's debir mean?
Oracle.
The speaking. The speaking place. The speaking place. The speaker of who? The speaker. We are the speaker for Yahweh. It doesn't say speaker. It says naos, and naos is for debir. It's the speaking point. Right at the center is that where Moses got to hear from Yahweh. It's covered in gold, a perfect conduit thing. And now we are the, and it's going to say the temple of the living God. Yes! So fired up! Yes, look at this temple. Look what's up. And I didn't verify what this temple looked like or anything. But you can look at I got charts of the temple and the glory. We're going to see one like that. And I've heard my whole life, you are the temple of the living God. When I was in Africa, the first time I went there with my baptism by fire, when I really thought I was going to get my head cut off or sold kidnapping, some sort of kidnapping, they're going to cut my body parts off and send it to my family because where I was going, but I was on a mission. And one of the first stories that I got to hear David Remy teach is he said he was trying to heal somebody, and this child, this woman, was demonized, and you didn't see the manifestation of the demon until you try to pull it out. You ever seen it when somebody has a parasite? They got a worm in them, and all of a sudden it starts coming out, and some of them it's gross. And David's going, he's fighting, he's just trying to heal a woman. She's come to him, and all of a sudden, holy moly, this woman is infected! And you're just crazy. And David's teaching me this. And I'm looking at all my black friends. All I can see is their eyes and their teeth. And I'm hearing this story. I'm in the jungle. I can't blend in. And David goes, oh, yeah. And Eric, his best friend, he's fired up. Yeah. John the Baptist when the guy gets exercised, he's like, yeah. That's where they were. I wasn't. I'm looking going, Okay. And David said, and finally, the demon, the woman, wants to be delivered. Do you want to be delivered? I want to be delivered. And David looks at her and he goes, you can't stay here. And the demon looks at David and says, who do you think you are? David said, I am the temple of the living God! And boom, the woman drops down. I'm like, I hear that, and it's, people could be lying or making up stories or something, but we have the Ruah inside us that will confirm truth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he said that, and Yahweh was teaching me in Africa like he did in this temple. And David's the temple of the living God. That is the temple of the living God. This also is the temple. You see this temple? Do you know what happened at the temple? It got burned down. During Jeremiah's time, they did worse things inside the temple than Sodom and Gomorrah. What did they do in Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodomy, all kinds of sexual, horrible things. There are Christians that are this temple. Because they are not obeying, they're not taking the tree. So we can look at people, you are the temple, but so is that the temple. And Yahweh was not in Jerusalem during this. Mm-hmm. Yahweh was with Daniel, with Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
In Babylon, which is Iraq. That's where Yahweh was. Yahweh stays in holy places. Can you imagine if somebody started bringing feces and all kinds of poop and dirty things into your house? I'm not staying there. Yahweh's not going to stay either. But here,
You and I get to decide each day, one day at a time, which temple are you? And we might not have problems like Sodom and Gomorrah, sexual immorality or alcohol, but everybody's got a problem and everybody's got a weakness they've got to work on. And if you can't list your weaknesses on one hand, then you're probably victim to them. You should say, these are the things I need to be working on. This is a weakness. This is a weakness. Well, they're just this little thing or that little thing. What did the Apostle Paul say? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We are to be the image of Christ. If that's flipping over tables, great. If that's listening, great. If that's walking. And so we are to transform ourselves each day as a living temple of the living God by choosing to not just read it, but to feed on the Word is to do it. It doesn't matter if you know it. Satan, no, Dad just did that teaching last week. Satan knows the Scriptures. Satan knows Jesus Christ or Yehoshua is the Son of God. He knows He's coming back. He knows He's in the line of the tribe. He's just not going to bow down to Him. He's not going to do anything He says. Here's another interesting thing about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, what do these trees look like? Scriptures are silent, right? Mm-hmm. What does 2 Corinthians 11:14 say the adversary looks like?
Beautiful.
He's beautiful.
Like.
Beware of beauty. And the Ark of the Covenant, every once in a while you're going to see somebody with no blemish. Maybe that could be a David. And we can look at it. We should actually be a little bit leery to say, is this a decoy? Because if you imagine the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it could be more beautiful if Yahweh... Now, just this is not making any statements, but as long as we're entertaining thoughts, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to Yahweh. He wants people to produce faith. His own son, he goes, you wouldn't even recognize him in a crowd. The only way you're going to recognize him is because he's fulfilling my word. Not just the miracles, he's fulfilling the word, the promises. What did the tree of knowledge of good and evil look like? We don't know. What did the tree of life look like? Based off of Hebrews, the tree of life might have looked like a cactus. I don't know. And you had to produce some sort of faith. It doesn't say that. But we get to choose each day what we are feeding on. And when Christians, and I used to be one, I've done it a lot, mock Adam and Eve, we should say, are you eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Not me. How many outbursts of wrath have you had today? Have you exercised self-control? Have you been slow to anger? Have you done these things? And we should look at it and say, I have. But it's the idea that sin, anything that's contrary to the word, sin means miss the mark. If this is the target, we want to hit right in the middle. The sin means we're off target. All of us are off target. And the idea is to be honing in, to becoming more like Christ. More like Christ, and if we're lucky, we'll be like the Apostle Paul and mean it, where I want to be like Christ and I don't want to know the fellowship of His what?
Suffering.
That is somebody honing in. Not just, hey, am I getting pats on the back? Hey, am I getting credit for this? Hey, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels here. He was so focused. Where do you want me to go? That he wanted to even know that the fellowship of the suffering, that's Christ, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the temple of the living God. And so we look at it. Here is an image that if we could see ourselves the way the demons see ourselves,
yeah,
we might see somebody who's ugly. Everybody's got what we call pet peeves. That bothers me. You talk with your mouth full. You pick your nose. You don't wash your hands after the bathroom. You interrupt people. Me, I never stop talking. Everybody's got pet peeves and stuff like that. Weaknesses. But if we can put on our eyes, we can say, open the eyes of my understanding, like it says in the book of Ephesians. Show me which temples are white hot. Which ones? And they're looking. Yehoshua HaMashiach was able to pick out his disciples. He prayed all night. And he's looking. And he's looking, and what is he seeing? On the inside, something. And the temple of the living God, unlike a physical temple, unlike the Ark of the Covenant, we, at least for the purposes of this teaching, are more complex. Because then this is where the rabbi started. He went to the next one, and the women in his temple really didn't let him finish this one. I don't know why. But it wasn't malicious. It was more discourse with the teaching. I was kind of irritated because I was starting to enjoy it. But he was saying it is up to us to filter what comes out. And then we take the scriptures, and he was kind of going that direction. And so when we look, I'd be the one with somebody putting their hand over my mouth. You talk too much. That can be good sometimes. But it is our job to filter this thing, because we have two trees inside of us, so to speak. And if we're not careful and if we're not intentional, what's going to be coming out of our mouth and out of our mannerisms or something is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, impulse, weakness, whatever. And there's going to be times, and the point is not to pick on any of us, but the objective is to become perfected, to become teleos, which is complete, whole. But we are the temple, and we are called to filter. If you turn to Galatians chapter 5, and if there's time, I'll go back to Exodus. I'll go to the filter, then I'm going to show you something in Exodus and Genesis.
Go to Galatians or Exodus?
Well, go to Galatians 5, please. And then we're going to go straight to Colossians. So we're going to talk about, in Galatians 5, there's this some explanation. When I'm going to, well, everybody knows the fruit of the Spirit, frutas. Was it frutas de espíritus?
Frutos de espíritus.
Sí, okay. But then we're going to say frutas de carne. It doesn't say fruit of the flesh. But in chapter 19...
Verse 19.
Verse 19. Actually, I'll go back in verse 16 and start reading how we are being supposed to filter what comes in and out. And so just like a temple or something, this house is a good example. In mom and dad, I could always, whenever I was having a hard time in my life, specifically my 20s, I don't know how I made it through my 20s, I knew where I could go to get peace. And my parents' house was a holy place. Holy means separate. There wasn't drunkenness and fornication and things coming through the TV. And so a house can be a good example of filtering. We don't let that in this house. We're not. There's nobody with a sodomy pride is walking in this house. No Democrat that says they're a Democrat that knows what they're going on is not invited in this house. We can't eat with you. It specifically says in 1 Corinthians 5, I can't eat with you. Well, why can't you? Because I'm forbidden. This is me filtering. I got to separate. Holy is to separate. You are unclean. I am holy. I want fellowship. I can't go to the temple if I'm unholy. Now, this is taking a figure and a literal. With Jesus Christ time, if you got unclean, it's like 7 days. Your whole thing, and that's how we should be looking at people with lust of the flesh, whatever the thing is. But we keep our house clean. Verse 16, by the Ruah be walking, and fleshly coveting ye will not in no wise fulfill. How are you not going to fulfill? By the Ruah. The flesh covet against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these unto one another are opposed. You have a roommate you're going to have to clean up after for the rest of your life. They don't clean the inside of the toilet. They put the toilet paper on wrong. Or whatever these things are. And you can either complain about it. You ever had that? Or you get over it. I'll pick that up. Or I'll do that. And so we have a roommate inside of us that is going to... It's not going to be something out of control, but we should be intentional. So be ready when the fleshly covetings and we clean up. No, I rebuke that. Thought came in out of nowhere. Where did that come from? Not from me. That's that dirtbag roommate inside me. I rebuked him in the name of Jesus Christ, Yehoshua HaMashiach. Get out of here. This house is clean. You're welcome. Now, I wouldn't say you're welcome to Yahweh, but that's kind of the idea. Claim. No impure thought. Then go down to verse 18. If by the Ruah you are being led, you are not under the law. Manifest, however, the works of the flesh, which indeed are fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantedness, enmities, strife. Then here would be, my problem wouldn't be jealousy, but outbursts of wrath. When do I have outbursts of wrath? Is when I don't regulate myself. I work too hard. I work too long, and all of a sudden I got no more self. Yes, you do. Regulate yourself. Aaron, you are a servant of Christ. You are his ambassador. You got to control yourself. Factions, divisions, parties, envying, drunkenness, reviling. So those are we are to filter those things out. In this group, we're pretty holy. The only thing that I can think of for us would be, it's that fornication thing on TV. I just take that real serious. I'm going to say, okay, I don't see any other things in here necessarily, but there's always something we can do. And Christ is looking, he's not impressed. He's. Can you imagine how tidy Jesus Christ is with his house? Worthy with little, worthy with much. To much has been given, much is required. Yehoshua HaMashiach seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you think his desk looks nice? Yeah, I bet you it does. I can imagine everything's just immaculate. And that's the target. And we're not going to hit the target. No, we will. We will every once in a while. We will hit the target. We will be a part of Peter saying, get up, silver and gold I have no. We will have those moments. And that's the objective. We'll have those moments. It'll be fantastic. It could be a prophecy. It could be giving a business card. It could be casting out a demon. It could be rebuking somebody. And Christ will be inside you going, you just did it. And then I go over to verse 22. If somebody would read the fruit of the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control.
It's neat. And so self-control and meekness. And you say, okay, so then it's our job to decide what comes out to claim and to work on it. And to be a filtering process. Then we'll go back to Exodus, but we'll finish with, go back to the beginning of Exodus chapter 25, the Ark of the Covenant. And if somebody, you guys don't mind reading, we're going to read 9. Well, I guess I'll read it. Verse 9, chapter 25. According to all that I am showing thee, the pattern of the habitation and the pattern of the furnishing thereof, even so shall ye make it. You know what's really neat is it says in Hebrews that the tabernacle and stuff were replicas. That Moses, make everything just like you just saw. And it's... If somebody was going to be making the pink house, we have a white house here in the United States. There's a man of pink granite in Argentina. Mm-hmm. If somebody's making a replica of it, it'd be very easy to say, that's not it. Oh, who do you think you are? I'm just telling you, that's not where the door is. There's a replica. And when Moses is making things, oh my goodness, I was listening to the book of Exodus this morning. How many laws were there before Moses? Well, it says, remember the Sabbath. Dad pointed that out. So it must have been a Sabbath because you remember it. Circumcision. Then you could eat it. So it starts getting, it's not that specific. Here's Israel, follows Moses. Who is this guy? Nobody even knows who this guy is. Out of the wilderness. And can you imagine him coming down, telling all these laws? Have you ever listened to the laws?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, this guy never stops. I listened to Exodus for an hour and a half. And this law, and this law, and this law. I'm like, this guy's got a photographic memory. He had to have a photographic memory. You know what that means? It means you don't forget anything. You remember exactly everything. And then Christ, as I was listening to Yahweh, goes, you got a photographic memory. You have the mind of Christ. Moses was connected. But here's Moses making a replica.
What, verse
9. I'm showing thee, according to all that I'm showing,
thee the pattern of the habitation and the pattern of the furnishing thereof. Even so shall you make it. Now, remember your forearm to your fingers. It's a woman's going to be smaller, but it's about 18 inches. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half, the length. See?
Yeah, it's not that big. I thought it was a big giant thing.
It's about
2 cubits.
2 cubits. And it says 2 cubits and a half. Okay, they got that. And then I got a, okay, so you go, maybe, all right. But 2 cubits and a half, thank you. And a cubit and a half, the breadth thereof. Okay, a cubit and a half. All right, there, you can see that. And a cubit and a half, the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Shall thou overlay it, and thou shalt make therein a rim of gold round about. And thou shalt cast for 4 rings of gold, and shalt put on the 4 feet thereof, even 2 rings on one side thereof, and on the 2 rings on the other side thereof. And thou shalt make staves of acacia wood, and shalt overlay them with gold, and shalt bring in the staves into the rings on the side of the ark to bear in the ark therewith. And go down to verse 16. And thou shalt put the ark of the testimony, which I have given to thee. In Exodus, we won't turn there, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, lo, I have put before you life and death. Choose life. Where have we heard that before? Genesis chapter 2. Two trees. Life and death. It's the same thing. Adam and Eve. And people will say, I would have gotten kicked out of the garden. Really? Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. Adam and Eve was perfect. But here's it's choose life. And that's Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. It's the same thing. Choose the tree of life, knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2 verse 16. Yahweh's word, the tree of life, is to eat it, is to obey it. John 14, 15 and 15, 14, easy ones to remember. If you love me, keep my commandments. You're my friends if you do what I say. Well, yeah, I've been walking with Yehoshua for 30 years. Aaron, he called Peter Satan. Mm-hmm. Are you doing it now? Mm-hmm. And so the objective is that, Aaron, you're 30 years of doing it. That's great. But the objective is right now. Right now, right now. And you look at it, the Ark of the Covenant, which was a speaking point, and here's the gold is on the inside and the gold is on the outside, and kind of to wrap things up with Colossians. Oh, we didn't read Colossians. Colossians 3, 4. It talks about... I don't know if we should go there. Colossians 3, 4 is really the filter. If you turn to Colossians 3, 4, you don't have to go there. But in Colossians chapter 3, 4 through 9, it says, kill your flesh, your death-doomed bodies. Strip these things off. He says, strip off the old man. And my sister Dina, she used to have this, I think it was a poster my dad or my mom got her. And it was a person, it was a glass person peeling off this skin. Peel off the old man, stripping it off each day. And if you're already there, you don't mind reading it?
3-4?
Yeah, 3-4 through 9.
Someone can be read.
Yeah.
As soon as the Mashiach, or the Christ, shall be made manifest on life, then you also, together with him, shall be made manifest in glory. Make dead, therefore, your members that are on the earth as regards fornication, impurity, passion, base coveting, and greed, the which is idolatry, on account of which things cometh the anger of Yahweh, wherein you also walk as one time when you were living in these things, but now do ye also put them all away, anger, wrath, baseness, defamation, shameful talk out of your mouth. Be not guilty of falsehood one to another, having stripped off the old man together with his practices, and have put on the new man, which is being molded afresh unto personal knowledge after the image of him that hath created him.
Pause right there. That's perfect. And so the inside of the Ark of the Covenant was pure gold. When we do these things, what my dad just read, that is making the inside of you and I pure gold. It is rotten in there.
and we clean it. We strip it off. We should go inside and strip these things off. And don't be intentional. Don't get hijacked when something pops out. Do it. Kill your old man. My parents are some of the best examples on the planet with that. First thing they do in the morning is they go pray and exercise. What is exercising? Killing the old man. Because what does your old man go? I'm not doing anything until... And so, but it's a great way. I try to do the same thing, but when we do these things, we can make the inside of us gold like the Ark of the Covenant. And then you look back about the contents of it, what's inside of us. We could be like, can you imagine how powerful one jump drive with 64 gigs could be on it? How much information you could give a whole library to build all kinds of churches or whatnot. And we can do that. If we clean it out.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for being patient with me to work through me to explain some of these things. And I thank you for the seeds. Please, I ask you, your word says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. I thank you for the seeds that have been planted in whoever listens to this. But most importantly, the three most important people in my life that are in this room, I thank you for your seeds taking root and a tree of life coming up, growing up inside them. And I thank you, Father, that the tree of life growing and it's taking root so that they can be in this world but not of this world. And they can be a peculiar people giving out the fruit of the Ruach Kodesh and the manifestations to manifest the Ruach Kodesh. Father, we thank you for these words. Know that I am extremely proud of all my children that are working. I don't expect perfection, but there's a saying, perfection is impossible. But by chasing perfection, you may obtain excellence. The Apostle Paul chased perfection, which was my son. If you do so, you will achieve excellence in so many different areas. So many areas. Your life will be more fulfilled than you've ever imagined. I will give you more peace and laughter than you can even imagine. And this is just the beginning. This is you doing my will. And I, as your Father, promise you, if you do my will, I'll take care of all the desires of your heart. I'll give you the things you really care about. I understand these heavy things. Let me be the one that gives you these things, including the compliments that you desperately need.
Amen.